Previously on Lost.
You cannot change anything. You can't. Even if you tried to, wouldn't work.
Why not?
Whatever happened, happened.
Do you really think all this is an accident? That we, a group of strangers, survived? Many of us with just superficial injuries? You think we crashed on this place by coincidence? Especially this place? We were brought here for a purpose, for a reason, all of us. Each one of us was brought here for a reason. Brought here. And who brought us here, Jeff?
Horse?
You know Morse code.
You gotta find me, John. You gotta find me. When you do, you'll find him.
Who?
Jacob.
Two players, two sides. One is light, one is dark.
We have to go back!
We have to go back!
Hello and welcome to The Storm, a Lost Rewatch podcast. My name is Dave Gonzalez. I'm one of your hosts. I'm here with
Joanna Robinson
and Neil Miller.
Yeah, we're all back together. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. But like last week, I would casually direct you to another episode of our podcast if you're interested in the Lost Rewatch podcast format, because this bonus episode is off format again. It's another special interview episode before we start season six, and we're going to elaborate on who Joanna is talking to in a moment. But first, a reminder about where we're picking up with the final season of Lost next week, next Saturday, the 15th at 6 p.m. Eastern. We start a live watch in our Slack, our Patreon Slack, of LAX, LA Space X, parts 1 and 2. And then when that episode's over, bloop, the podcast is going to go up into your feed. So around 6 p.m., 8 p.m., depending on your coast sign, that's where you're going to be looking. And then if you're also like outside of the Americas, I apologize for all of this like American-centric time thing. It's how we operate. But that means podcasts now stop being on Wednesdays, like Lost was on Wednesdays. That was fun while it lasted. But we're going to have Saturday podcasts. They've been longer, and now they get to hang out with you for like a whole weekend instead of being crammed into a commute or something. Actually, you know what? You could listen to them whenever you want. That's the beauty of a podcast. But live watch this Saturday, 5:15 at 6 p.m. Eastern. How do you join that? You go to patreon.com/stormspoilers, and there you can subscribe at any level to get access to our Patreon Slack, and that's where we chat along and watch the Lost episodes. Okay. That's enough housekeeping. Joanna, Neil, what do we have in store this week for our listeners?
Okay, sorry. I just got confused for a second when you said 5:15, then you said 6. So May 15th.
Yes.
I was like, what's 5:15? Oh, the date. May 15th, we're watching the two-parter, right?
Mm-hmm. Premiere? Yes, two-part okay. Premiere.
6 o'clock. Okay. Eastern. Yeah.
L.A. and X. Those are the two
L.A. X. And then yep. We gave Eastern Standard Times for an episode called LAX. Like, really, I could have thought this all out a little bit better. But we're here and we're doing fine. And everybody knows the podcast is coming out on Saturdays now for the rest of the Lost rewatch.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm excited for us to head into this final season. As I mentioned on the bonus episode we had last week with Damon, like the final season is a mixed bag for sure. The highs are really high for me, and it's when the narrative around Jack, who is our main character, starts to coalesce. I don't know. I know we didn't say we were going to talk about what we're looking forward to in season 6. I just decided to say it. Neil, are you excited for the final season?
I'm very excited. Season 6, you know, I have been looking back a little bit at some of my coverage that I did at the time, and I was pretty high on season 6. I've been a pro season 6 person for a while, and yeah, it's got its problems, but I think there's a lot of really good stuff, and I'm really excited for the folks who are watching along and staying in the calm, because season 6 very immediately is extremely weird, and I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with it.
And so much lore. Who doesn't want more lore?
Oh, sure, lore.
That's what everybody's favorite part of season six is the lore.
Yeah, I mean, we're finally going to get the answer to how do you have a whole extra season of a show after you blew up the entire island?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
That's a good question. So remind me again how much time there was between season five and season six initially.
Ooh, that's
months
a good
and
question.
Months, like 8 months. Is that right?
Season five's finale, The Incident, parts one and two, which we talked about, aired on May 13th, 2009. And then LAX, parts one and two, came out the following February 2nd, 2010.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that's
too long.
That's what, 9-8 months?
Yeah. So, like, yeah. You know, we're used to that stuff with our Thrones fandom and stuff like that. Like, we remember what that's like. But the Lost fans were not used to that long of a hiatus. So this is, like, a big deal. A lot of expectation. So that's sort of what this bonus episode is about. We're going to talk to our friend Joe Garfine, who runs the great charity nonprofit, I think I should say, Cancer Gets Lost. Is here also to talk about that hiatus. And she is like the number one Elizabeth Mitchell / Juliet fan. So I just thought it would be good to talk to Joe about everything Juliet and what was going on sort of at the end of the fifth season and that time off. She's really like such a good resource to get a beat on like where the fandom was at that moment.
Joe has my favorite in Lost progress theory, which is that the others were mole people. I still remember that.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing today. I'm really excited to do that. Anything else we need to say before we?
No, I think we nailed it. Let's listen to your chat with Joe right after this.
This episode of The Storm is sponsored by IP Vanish. So, like, what is IP Vanish? IP Vanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short, and a VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, we don't want to know about it. We don't want to judge you. That's important because what you're doing on the internet is no one else's business but yours. And IP Vanish can help you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. And for listeners of this show, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off, just $3.49 for the first month or $31.49 for the year.
Here is everything you get with IP Vanish. You get anonymous IP addresses. This means that your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. You get to circumvent any online censorship. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 plus locations. You get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing, no matter where you're doing it. And you get 24/7 support. You can email them, chat them, even call them if you want. They are here to help.
So go to ipvanish.com/storm and claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 a year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IP Vanish is the best of the best. It's even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. Show these guys some love. They're repeat sponsors. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/storm to get the deal and start protecting yourself online.
Joe, hello. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you so much for having me back on your wonderful podcast.
Thank you for being here. I can think of no better occasion than to have the world's foremost Juliet Burke fan than, of course, the season five finale, this big Juliet moment. So I want to start there, like, because I know you love Juliet. I know you love Liz Mitchell. And I just want to start with, like, how you feel about this finale, this big moment for her.
Okay. I rewatched the two-part finale to prep for this. And How many years later? It aired in 2009. It's 2021. I still cried. It was a two-tissue episode, the actual second episode. It's still super painful to watch. And I'll be honest with you, and I agree with the things you had said in your wrap-up and your analysis of it a podcast or two ago, which is that it's all credit to Elizabeth Mitchell's acting, because her face, she looks so heartbroken when Sawyer looks at Kate instead of her. And you could just see it in her face and her eyes and her body language. And so knowing where it leads, even back then, and we'll get to the V of it all, but knowing that she was going to a different show and I didn't know how this episode would end, but it was heartbreaking to watch her reaction to him and watch her change her mind and side with Jack because of it. I mean, what a phenomenal episode for Josh Holloway and Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I did want to ask you, and this is something that I didn't know until years later. I wasn't following the show closely enough to know. I mean, this is the kind of thing I know all the time now, but I didn't know then that, like, she had already signed up for this other show. So at what point did the fans know that Liz Mitchell was leaving the show as a regular?
I think it literally came over the press wire. And this is, like, Twitter wasn't as huge as it is at all right now, obviously, in 2009. And message boards and Facebook people started just freaking out, saying, oh gosh, Liz has signed on to this other show. What is this? Does this mean Juliet's going to die? Does this mean Juliet's going to, you know, disappear into the forest or come back as a ghost? Or, you know, like, of course, Lost fans, and we have notoriously a lot of time on our hands back then. less distracting social media. We literally just had, we had MySpace, we had LiveJournal, message boards, Facebook. and we had a lot of time to speculate after this episode, but certainly when that hit the news, hit the wire, it made watching the incident a little bit different. It hit a little bit differently for us because we were all on pins and needles wondering what was going to happen to Juliet.
All right. So you knew she was not going to be a regular, but you didn't know for sure she was going to die. Like, do you remember? Like, were you convinced she was going to die? What did you think?
I think because I was such a massive fan of the character and the human being playing her. I mean, I'm all for Liz Mitchell's career advancement. Terrific. But I loved her so much in this role. It wasn't until in the episode when she literally said the phrase that we all know and love, live together, die alone. I said, oh, that's going to be her. She's going to die alone. And that's when my heart broke. But I was happy for her. But I also knew that the fandom was going to freak out.
What do you think about, you know, other than landing here with a death, which is, you know, one way to write off a character, a common way to write off a character. What do you think of the send up and goodbye that they gave her? Like, knowing that Damon and Carlton knew she was going to leave, knowing that they had to, like, say goodbye to Juliet. What do you think of, like, the season leading up to this finale and the space they gave her?
I think season 5 was wonderful. And I think your favorite episode is LaFleur, but the whole giving her... But in season 3, we didn't know whose side she was on. And there were a lot of people who didn't like Dr. Juliet Burke for obvious reasons. I think that they kept it kind of gray. There was no black and white with her. It was very gray. And she played both sides. I think through season 4 and especially in season 5, she was a character that many people were surprised to come to love and appreciate, at least. If they didn't love her or they didn't like her with Sawyer, they could at least appreciate why she was there on the show. To me, I just assumed that it was Liz Mitchell's decision to say, listen, just kill me off. I'm going to be in Vancouver filming another show. There have been other situations I know about where actors have asked when they've gotten other shows, hey, kill me off so that I probably can't come back. It's at a different network, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, now, V was on ABC, which is the reason it gave me hope, because it was on the same network.
Right. And you're like, can we have joint custody? Maybe? No?
Exactly. It's so funny because at the time, also, when as soon as the death happened, I thought, okay, Richard's going to retrieve her somehow and bring her to the temple to heal like he did with young Ben. I remember thinking that.
You're like, this can't be it. This can't be it. Yeah. So this was a two-tissue rewatch for you. Do you remember what your personal reaction was sort of when it happened in the moment?
I thought, she is doing what Charlie did, which is sacrifice themselves because they both believed it would help their friends and save them. And in a way, it happened for both of them, but at the cost of their own lives. I thought that it was really lovely that Juliet's last act on this earth was a selfless one. But I immediately thought about her sister and her nephew that she never got to meet and how Sawyer, how this would impact Sawyer moving forward. You know, these are the things that come to mind because you grew to love them as a couple and you were invested in that relationship. And he was so heartbroken in the last scene of season five. It just broke your heart.
What about the larger, the two-part finale as a whole outside of the Sawyer and Juliet of it all, which is obviously my priority as well, but like everything else that's going on and all the strings that sort of come together in this final 2 hours of this time travel season.
Well, there was tons of parallels. I think this is one of my, I think season four and season five's finales are so good. Everyone loves We Have to Go Back. Everyone loves season three with good reason. I'm a huge fan of four and five, particularly because of the parallels. So like Man of Science, Man of Faith. Season one ended, Locke finally gained interest to his beloved Hatch. Okay, and season five ended with Jack destroying that Hatch. Season two opened with Desmond in the hatch. You see a wheel spinning. We know it's a bike later. Season five ends with Jacob on the loom. You see the wheel spinning. He's in his own little hatch. You know, obviously, there's a frozen donkey wheel, so spinning wheels have a lot to play with this in this show. Saeed shooting, you know, shot young Ben. Ben's dad then shoots Saeed back. It just blew my mind, the parallels. Hurley saved the day with the Dharma van by running over the others in an earlier season. He saves the day again by picking up Jack and Saeed in the Dharma van. Like, Hurley gets to be a hero. Oh, there's just so many things. And I think it's just phenomenal. I have a visceral reaction to it every time. And I feel like when the chains got caught around Juliet and the electromagnetic force pulled her into the swan, I thought of season one, when Locke first encountered the smoke monster, and he obviously survived and had a better outcome. But there are just so many parallels that I think that this is why I always say that Lost is a gift. If you're paying attention, they circle back so often and there's so much follow through.
Mm-hmm. What about the John revelation, the John Locke revelation here?
Ooh, wow. Okay, well, as soon as this episode is over and we had very long hiatus, I mean, nowadays they put out a lot of content sooner or they don't, like Stranger Things every 2 years or, you know, there's so many shows, Game of Thrones, that did this, but we are more used to instant gratification now. But back then we had so many months, which is great for nerds like me to speculate. But the fandom, everyone started speculating about who else the Man in Black could have taken over body-wise, right? So everyone's like, okay, Christian Shepherd, Yemi Echo's brother. People automatically thought that he would, like, people were speculating that he was cloned, that John Locke's actual body was cloned in the Orchid. Like, there's so many different amazing theories out there. And that's how it was. But it was, the fandom reacted to the finale like this. They were so shocked to see John Locke's body, that reveal of him coming out of the crate. I remember jumping off the couch and screaming and then realizing that just a few feet away in the freaking foot was the Man in Black using John Locke's shell. Like, so there are two bodies of John Locke. It was very confusing. Everyone who was very sad about Juliet. And I think an underrated stunning development was that Ben was a pawn, like learning the whole thing, that Ben was not the man behind the curtain. And he really was used as a pawn the whole time.
It's wild.
It is.
What about the Jacob reveal? Like, this is, you know, Jacob is a character they've talked about for so long. Here he is in the flesh. You also meet, you know, this man in the black shirt. How did you react to seeing, like, this sort of metaphysical idea become literal on the show?
The Jacob and Man in Black scene, I was like, oh, I wish that was earlier in the show. I think it would have made a lot more sense. But I hadn't seen season six yet, no spoilers. But I just was like, oh gosh, we're going to get the origin of the island. Who are these dudes? There are two sides. One is light, one is dark. They're wearing white shirts and black shirts. Okay, what is happening here? Uh-huh. And I was like, does one represent fate? Does one represent free will? Fans, though, I have to tell you, fans theorized after season five that Aaron was Jacob. That baby Aaron somehow was Jacob, which kind of blew my mind as well. A lot of rabbit holes were explored. And then, like, Jacob wearing gloves. The only time he ever wore gloves was to go see Alana in the hospital. Alana was bandaged up. So we all theorized that she had reconstructive surgery and she was someone we'd already met. And we're going to see her on the island in season six as a different character as the same person.
Wow. Okay. So like an Ana Lucia. No, not an Ana Lucia.
I mean,
like,
I don't know who.
A female character we'd already met.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And we don't know why or how or who, but the fact that he wore gloves and the fact that the camera for a split second made sure that we knew that he couldn't touch her in particular We were like, okay. It was like, you know, Lost. There's no, there's nothing don't do on purpose.
All right. So you told me that, you know, I sent over some questions to you. You told me that you had like written down some theories that people had posed to you. I know you've mentioned some of them already, but are there any other wild and wonderful theories bouncing around there that you want to touch on?
Yes. Okay. So Jacob was never actually in the cabin. The man in black was, and he used the cabin to keep him locked up. And that line of ash prevented him from leaving until he discovered the loophole, John Locke. So we see a broken line of ash that Alana discovers. So back when Locke heard the help me from inside the cabin, we all thought it was Man in Black and not Jacob. Also, the reason Man in Black chose to use Locke as a new shell is because he's been observing and he knew from the get-go that he was, quote, amenable for coercion, which is something that we learned in episode 303, Further Instructions. There are also some speculation. Some fans theorize that when Jacob was stabbed by Ben, Jacob's soul transferred into Ben Linus. And in season 6, we would see Ben as the actual man in charge. I was a big fan of the theory also that Ilana was Richard Alpert's daughter. And I won't say anything about his family because that's a spoiler for season 6. But, you know, I really enjoyed a certain episode in season 6 because of that. I'm not saying whether or not it's true. And also, if you think about it, the man in black had a chance to observe Jacob over the years as he sent Alpert to be present at Locke's birth in an attempt to recruit him while at a foster home. When Jacob revived like Locke after he got pushed out of that window, I think that was the loophole. Man in black knew Locke would be arriving on the island, a broken man in a spirit. A broken spirit, he could be rejuvenated by the island, or he could be perfect for the man in black to use as a shell. He's amenable for coercion. There are things like that. I mean, I could go down a long rabbit hole here, but that's, you know, we were talking a lot about how Bram, who is part of Alana's gang, kept saying, we're the good people. And it reminded me of the season 3 when you met the others, season 2 when you met the others. We're the good guys, John. So we all speculated that Bram and Ilana were going to actually join up with the others in season 6.
That's wild. So as you're speculating all this stuff in the interim between 5 and 6.
Right.
How much at that point do you recall is sort of spoiler culture playing into this? Like how much are like set photos or casting rumors or anything like that feeding into the speculation frenzy?
Again, though, luckily back then it wasn't a spoiler full as it is now because of the proliferation of social media, but you had to actively avoid them on Facebook and on message boards. And honestly, like some people were scouring the press releases for information. I literally would turn off the TV at the end of each episode so I wouldn't even see next week on Lost. I would cover up the screen so I couldn't see who was guest starring in each episode because I was 100% spoiler-free. And it was such a fun experience. And I honestly think one of the reasons my blog took off is that I was so very verbal about being both kind and constructive in your comments, but also spoiler-free because it was such a weekly appointment television. I know we don't have a lot of that anymore, but that show was in particular, especially the finales and the premieres. And it was such a community experience that no one wanted to spoil it for each other. I mean, infamously, I've talked about this. I got an email from someone on the East Coast after the season 3 finale telling me that we have to go back before I saw the episode, telling me about Jack saying that. So I blocked all emails coming in from fans. This is before tweets. I didn't let it, I just wouldn't read anything from anyone because I wanted to just go in so unspoiled. But everything has changed now. Lost would be such a different experience now if we watched it together.
Yeah, I wonder how it would all go down now. I have to wonder.
Yeah,
you mentioned to me that this your post about the finale was sort of the most comments yet. I'm guessing not ever because I know you had that huge like season 6 finale post. But like, was this your what was the fan engagement like at the time?
It was delightful, and I have to say it remains that way. This is a sure sign of a strong fan community that. For the show was, it's 2004, back then it started, and then social media really started in 2008, 2009. Here we are in 2021, still talking about the show. There are new viewers every day that tweet Lost fans and ask questions, and there are people who find my blog and respond to posts to answers that and theories that I've obviously long gone. But back in 2009, when my blog was really taken off, and by the way, if anyone wants to go back, it's still there. It's joeopinionated.blogspot.com. Still up there. I had 50-something, maybe 55 comments after this finale, which to me, I would usually get like 10. So this was exciting. It made my day. And even better than that, and I know you always mention Jeff Jensen, Mo Ryan, who I believe at the time was writing for the Chicago Tribune, and mm-hmm. Jeff Jensen for EW, linked back to one of my theories. And I thought I've made it. I've made it, you guys. I've made it.
I need to get more into what Mo, I need to add Mo to my weekly reread.
Oh my gosh. Her analysis was fantastic. And of course it remains, it always is about every show. Mo's She's very spot on. But the fan engagement, the comments were always kind. I would not allow anyone to be rude to each other to respond. Like, your theory is dumb. A lot of times they would say, with respect, this is where I think you're wrong, which is how you should go about constructive fan criticism. Yeah, exactly. And so it was delightful, and it really emboldened and empowered me to do what I do now and to have co-created and run Cancer Gets Lost now. It's really because there is such support around the world for people who watch Lost then and people who watch Lost now. Like last year, all Lost items in an online Cancer Gets Lost charity auction, we raised almost $25,000 for cancer charity. And because the need and the want for Lost related items is still so strong, because nostalgia is so, it's still real, and people have such strong feelings for the show then and now that they want a piece of history. And I'm so grateful they have the opportunity to provide that to them, and then charity benefits. So it's just a wonderful, I couldn't ask for anything better than the Lost community.
Have you noticed a bunch of people watching it in the pandemic lockdown?
Yes.
I feel like we got a little bump this last year with a lot of people watching for the first time.
Absolutely, because it's such a bingeable show, and because it's available so widely now, and I think a lot of people went, you know what? I have time. I have seen a proliferation of Lost fans online increase probably 15-20% last year. So I'm sure they're really excited about your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if everyone – we get emails every week of someone being like, hi, I'm starting your podcast in season one. I'm like, oh, boy, miles to go. Something that I wanted to ask you about, and I don't know if you can have a sense of this shape of it, but something I think is so interesting is Lost started out as this show that became mega big viewership-wise, and then the viewership shrank significantly, but – I feel like the passion only increased by the people who were remaining. The people who were remaining were really into it. Do you have a sense of, you know, the viewership and the fandom at the beginning versus the viewership and the fandom here in this, like, between season five, season six place?
I think so. And of course, we always talk about the infamous writer strike that affected seasons 3 and 4. Although, frankly, my favorite seasons are 4 through 6. I think the pace of this show really picked up post season 3, and I actually love season 3 in the cages. Sorry, not sorry, but I think that when they introduced time travel, I think season 3 lost some people because they felt it was static because they were in the cages and there wasn't as much momentum. I politely disagree, but to each their own. I think that when time travel hit, that's when the most people I know gave it up, but then those people also went back and watched it afterward, after they'd already sort of read some analysis and knowing what's true and not true, and through a different lens. But I think it was such a novelty at the beginning, but then when it got a little more philosophical and got into the depth and the book club of it all, and there were a lot of layers to it. I think some people wanted a simpler viewing experience, and to each their own, no judgment there. That's still the case. But there were those of us who loved the minutia of threading the needle, because there was such a quilt that they were weaving. And when they started showing different characters and different flashbacks and flash forwards, my goodness, it was such a puzzle. And for people who like, whose brains, like ours, like putting these puzzle pieces together, it was a fun, immersive experience. And we stuck with it. And that's why we found everything so rewarding in the end.
It's wild to me because, still talking to, people who talk about TV for a living or whatever, people will say, oh, yeah, there was nothing like that first season of Lost. And I was like, yeah. I don't know. I think that fifth season of Lost is where I think the real magic is. And I get it. I get how season one of Lost changed television forever. I just think when you get deeper into a character, when you're further along in their journey, like, provided that the creators haven't lost the thread entirely, to pick up your crafting metaphor, and I don't think they have, it's so much more rewarding to spend time with those people, right?
100%. What Lost did really well, even surprisingly for back in 2004, is they established these characters, and within an episode or two, there is a resonance. Like, each of us could relate to, if not an entire character, an aspect of a character. And I think all of us enjoy the idea of a second chance and of fixing mistakes or becoming a better person. And I think that resonated and it stuck with their journeys throughout. And I think that that's why so many people were profoundly affected by this television show and continue to be.
And I think also Lost is a show, even in this fifth season here, that you can enjoy on so many different levels, right? Because you can just enjoy the action adventure if you want to, or if you want to get really deep on like spiritual concepts, that show is available to you too. Do you know that there's just something for everyone?
As they and there's say. Something for the romantics too. There's love triangles, there's babies. I mean, the show really was a melting pot of ideas and characters. And that's why it's been hard to recreate since, and I'm glad they haven't. And we've talked about this on and offline, but I'm glad so far they haven't done a reboot. I would be so happy for a prequel or a sequel, but a straight up reboot to me. You know, to us, this is our beloved, and I don't see that. It's like remaking Game of Thrones. It's too soon. I know prequels, great. But the money and technology that we have now out there in the television universe, I'd be really excited to see something creative, even if it's not from Dana Carlton. They said they probably wouldn't do it. If it's something pre-Island or post-Island, I think that would be fantastic.
I think especially since Damon won't even do season two of Watchmen, he's not going to go do a Lost reboot. So I have this final question for you, but I'm going to sneak in one more before that, which is, do you have any, like, here's something that Damon said to me, and I don't think he said it in the on-air interview, but something that they were really trying to figure out the balance of going into the final season is mythology and questions versus character and emotion, right? Those are kind of like two, you know, there's a lot of dimensions of Lost, but those are the two strongest, like sort of twin rivers of Lost, right?
Right.
And I think if you're looking for emotional character satisfaction, I think in the final season, you will find it. If you're looking for mythological answers satisfaction, there are a lot of answers there. I'm not saying there aren't answers, but like, I'm not sure it will give you that same thirst quenching feeling as the emotional aspect of Lost does going to the final season. So without spoiling anything, going to the final season of Lost, do you have any like advice for first time viewers of like how they might set themselves up for success to best enjoy it?
Well, first of all, and it's almost impossible, ignore everything you've heard about the show. Especially the finale. Yeah. I find it incredibly rewarding to watch, definitely on a character basis, my goodness, and definitely get some Kleenex for, you know, the whole season. I agree with you that they did have a lot about the island and the mythology that they couldn't necessarily answer, but I think they did a really good job wrapping up certain questions. And I would say, you know, manage your expectations. I think, to the credit of the people who were outraged by the finale, I will say, and I used to be much more dismissive of them, and I've learned to listen and understand that they had expectations, they had their questions. And if they weren't answered, they were answered, but they weren't answered the way they were hoping, that they were severely disappointed. And I, you know, that's totally their right. I would just say, go in with expectations, but understand that the writers chose their ending and did not choose the fan ending. Meaning, like, this is obviously the proliferation of Twitter as well. But I really think that they went with their original idea for the ending of the show. And I think it was quite beautiful. And as a viewer who paid very close attention, which I think people who listen to your podcast are doing, I think that you will find it rewarding. And if you don't, that's perfectly okay too.
All right. Here's my last question for you. And I love that. Thank you, Joe. Here's my last question for you. With your favorite, Juliet, having gone off to V, the short-lived, I mean, that's the worst part of all this, right? Is that like V didn't even go, right? So this never had to be like this. Anyway, with Elizabeth Mitchell off to star in V, which stories are you most invested in at this point headed into the final season?
After I had a funeral of emotions for my girl Juliet, party of one, I was very worried about, invested in Saeed's future. Love Saeed. He's probably my second favorite character on Lost. Very obviously, he was gravely injured at the end of season 5. But also Sawyer. I always liked Sawyer, but it wasn't really until season 5 and the LaFleur of it all that I really understood and appreciated Sawyer to the fullest. And so those two characters I was like, okay, I'm really worried about both of them. I obviously know Sawyer is independent of a relationship. He's his own character, but I thought it would be very interesting to watch what happens to him post Juliet, because to me, that was the love of his life. And now what?
Yeah.
A year later, I was doing freelance writing and I was on the set of V in Vancouver meeting Liz Mitchell for the first time. It's a very long story. It was hilarious. Long story short, she asked me to turn off my microphone after the interview and she said, just so you know, thank you so much for writing about me in the way you did. And I turned so red. I was so mortified because she had read my gushing blog about how wonderful she is and how Juliet is. But it was very sweet that she said she read my blog.
I love this for you. What a beautiful validation.
Oh my gosh.
This is like when Jack Schaefer, the showrunner for WandaVision, told me I sounded like her OBGYN because she had been listening to the podcast. She's like, it's very comforting to listen to your podcast because you sound like my OBGYN who helped me through the birth of my two children.
See? Like, it's the same. No, that's hilarious. But it's very sweet. I would say that the and this is speaking as Captain Obvious here, the cast and crew of Lost, and you can say this about a lot of shows, but this is, again, a show that ended a long time ago. They are, to a person, very, very kind and very generous and always have been and very kind to the fans, both online and offline, which I really appreciate. And Cancer Gets Lost wouldn't exist without them. The amount of items that Damon and Carlton have donated to me fill up two closets, and I still have them 10 years later. So just a huge shout out to you for doing this podcast and reviving the love for the show and inviting in new viewers, and a belated shout out always of gratitude to the cast and crew and the fans who keep generosity alive.
I love this. Well, Joe, you know, I always love talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Can you tell folks sort of all your vitals where they can find you and where they can find Cancer Gets Lost?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk about my favorite show. I am at JoePinionated on Twitter, which is the word opinionated with a J. And more importantly, Cancer Gets Lost is my little nonprofit that I run in my spare time. And we collect entertainment memorabilia, get it autographed, and auction it off, donating 100% of the proceeds to different cancer charities every year. Right now, we're working on a big auction for the fall once shipping and it opens up and global shipping gets a little easier post the worst part of the pandemic. But it's cancergetslost.org, and we not only feature Lost items, which I will have forever, we have items from about 100 different TV shows and 60 films. So we have grown substantially since we started in 2010, and our goal is just to give back, and this fandom is why we're able to do it.
I gotta say, you have such good stuff. I lost my auction bid on an item I really wanted in your last round. So, you know, if you're a fan of Lost, keep your eye out. Joe has got some great stuff, some rare stuff. So you're going to want to get in on that. Joe, thank you so much. Obviously, I will want to talk to you again before all this is said and done. But I really appreciate you and all your support and everything you do. You're the best.
Thank you, Joanna. We have to give back.
Bye.
Bye.